All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to my podcast, Stronger Than You Think. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with V, and I am going to let her do a little intro about herself, tell us a little bit about her, and we'll get going. So V, the floor is yours. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. And my name is V Padilla. Originally from New York, where I was raised in Puerto Rico. My mom said that I was always sick, so they had to send me to Puerto Rico because of the climate. And I lived there most of my life until I was like 20-some. I was in college, and I came to this area just to vacation, and I ended up staying. Not because I liked it, but because even though I was in Tampa, we came to just see the land of my mom, which is where I'm at right now. And what happened? I was going back to New York, which where I was with my friends, but they told me that my airline ticket was a round trip. So I was supposed to go back to Puerto Rico instead of going back and forth to what I wanted to do. And if not, I had to pay. And I only had $1,000 to my name. And I said, well, you know what? I'll just stay. That's where I made my life here. And eventually,
and
my mom. I'm now in Spring Hill, Florida, which is 1 hour away from Tampa in the north side.
oh, we actually probably live really close to each other.
Oh, really? Where do you live?
I'm in Auburndale, right close to Lakeland.
Oh, okay. I haven't been there. I don't know. But I mean, Lakeland is like 1 hour north. Not north, 1 hour away from me too. I mean,
Okay,
I
I'll
know
have to
land.
look it up.
Yeah. I only know because I've been there like two or three times with a friend, but she's no longer around, unfortunately, so I haven't gone there anymore.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that she's no longer around.
Yes.
Darn it. So I'm curious though, you said that you had to go to Puerto Rico, and you said they sent you to Puerto Rico like alone?
Well, yes, my mother sent me with her sister. Because she was working in New York,
Okay.
and I was 4 years old, so my aunt was there. I don't know if she was going to move or she was traveling to visit her mother that was there, my grandmother. So she sent me with her. I was shipped, the way I see it. And then she needed to get rid of her apartment, do what she needed to do with her job and whatnot. And then she came after. How long after? I have no idea. But I
Wow.
was there. To tell you the truth, this is, I want to say hearsay because from information that she gave me, because I did not remember anything about my life beyond or before, I want to say 6, 7 years old. I mean, I knew I have little pieces of my life, but I have no idea what I did before that. And
Interesting.
what I have is like, was, is that a dream or did it really actually happen? So I have no idea. I see pictures of myself, to tell you the truth, and I used to remember asking my mom, like, oh, who's that kid? Because it looked like a little boy, have short hair and whatnot. And she said, that's you, like me. It's like seeing another child. Even on my birthday, it was like, I mean, like you will think that you will remember at least a birthday or something. Not a clue. It's so weird.
Wow.
And that's why it is beyond me when people tell me, like even my son told me, oh yeah, I remember when I was 3 years old. Like, no, you do not remember when you were 3 years old. Like, how can you remember that far? But he said he remembers, and other people are like, I don't remember anything.
Oh, that's
Well,
fascinating.
I don't know if it was my mom said that my aunt, which I was very close to her, really, had me one time on the table, and she was like 12, 13 years old, maybe. You know, they get to get in between them, the adults, and then they start listening to them or not. But she was holding me on top of the table. And that's what I'm second guessing that maybe happened to me, that because she was paying attention to the other conversation and not paying attention to this baby that she was holding on top of the table, she dropped me. I fell from the table to the floor. I don't know what happened. She didn't tell me what happened after that, but I'm thinking maybe I had some trauma or something. Maybe block everything after that because I don't remember anything.
Wow, and that was at what age?
I think I was 1 or 2 years old.
Wow.
I don't know.
You
Like I
had some
said,
experiences real quick in life, didn't you?
yes, and like I said, it's that that's what she tells me because other than that, I don't know anything.
Wow. So it's interesting because this is the first time that we've met. Can you hear the lawnmower outside? My son's mowing the lawn right now, right near my window. Okay, we're good.
No, I'm
That's how
thinking
it
like, okay,
works.
I heard something, but I thought it was behind me.
Oh, geez. Always something, right? But it's interesting because we got put together on a group by a mutual friend and oh my gosh, what's the word when somebody's teaching you something? Oh my gosh. Anyways, what was that?
Leader, she's a
Leader,
leader.
yeah. Yeah, friend, leader, and a mentor is what I was thinking.
Exactly.
And she said that, Sarah, you have to interview V because my podcast is stronger than you think. And you're like, oh my, she was like, oh my gosh, you have to interview V. So is there a story? Is there an experience that you like to share about being stronger than, I mean, already in what you've shared in like 3 minutes, my gosh, you were shipped off to Puerto Rico when you were 4 to live with your aunt, and hopefully somebody would show up later. Like that to me is already really, really big. I mean, it seems like you started off fighting and then being dropped when you were like one or two. You seem like you're just immediately a fighter. So that's like
Well,
exciting.
I do have stories. I just don't know which one you want. It's like, I mean, I've been in a domestic violence situation. I live in a toxic relationship with my family. Like, for me, it was normal. I thought that was part of growing up or whatever. But so I don't know if you want my whole life story. I have
Well, maybe, I mean,
different sections of it.
yeah, maybe you can share what you feel led to share.
Okay.
I really
Well,
like the what I learned part too. So, like, I mean, just in those snippets, you don't seem like you're destroyed and distraught. I mean,
traumatized.
like you're laughing and you're happy and you're smiling and you're beautiful and there's this radiance about you. So you've obviously come through the other side.
Yes, I don't know. It's like, I mean, my daughter used to tell me the same thing. My oldest one, she says, like, well, I don't know if I would be able to take life like you did, but I don't know. I guess it's a purpose in all that that I have been going on in my life. And at one point, I thought that that's what how I took it because I used to work with families, and I took my experiences and I tried to not mentor but guide them into that they can do the best that they could that life brings. But let me just do it in a like a sequence. Like, I mean, growing up, I lived with my mom. She was single parents. We lived with my grandmother. Her house was very little, and my grandmother, my aunt, everybody in my household, which are mainly female, like, I mean, I don't know, male just dropped by, did their season, kept on walking. So we were very independent. We did what we had to do without having to wait for a man to do it. My grandmother, the only man that she had in her life because she married, I want to say three times, but I used to say to her that she was like a black widow because all of her men, I used to say that she will kill them but because they two of them die. And then I found out much later that the second one didn't die. He just went back to his wife. But she b rebuilt or expanded her house herself, mixing cement and doing what she needed to do with her brother. And she made this house big enough for us to live with her. And it was three bedrooms, two bathroom, and then a little mini house in the back. That's where my uncle used to live. So, but in living with my mom, she was a single parent, she didn't know how to do it at all. And I found out about how my father was not in the life of my mom and I many years after. Not through her because she would not speak about her, my father. It was painful for her. I understand that because of, I mean, she, like I said, she never spoke about her, but because of now me being a mother, I know that something must have happened to her that she would not open up. But she was very controlling, very, she will try to give me everything that she didn't have, which was materialistic, really. But she will never communicate with me. So my life with my mom was very conflicted. I never had a good relationship with her until I came to Florida. And that was 1 year of my whole life that we actually got along. Other than that, growing up, it was, she will spank me for just whatever. Let me give you an example, because some people say like, oh, well, I probably did it. And yeah, sometimes I probably deserve it, but she had her way of being, like, for example, that if you took a shower, you were supposed to clean your underwears where you were taking a shower. If I didn't do them, I mean, I would, I mean, I didn't think about, yeah, the washer will do it. But if I didn't do it, she will spank me. But my worst spanking, the ones that I do remember, are the ones when she will, my grandmother will take care of me. Most of the, she didn't work. She was expect me to bathe me or to send me to take a shower and to give me food and whatnot. And I was very a picky eater, so I would not, I didn't like to eat. And she will say, well, in Spanish, you said, well, muérete de hambre, meaning like, I mean,
yeah,
well, go to hell, I don't care. Or like, I mean, die if you don't want to eat. So I will make little casitas or little, I will put the rice very together so that she's like, you see, I eat a lot. But I was not eating. So she would not stress. My grandmother would not stress. I loved her to death. We had a good relationship. We do a lot of things together. But then when my mom will come, she would have many times two jobs. And so when she was coming, she would be stressed out. But I didn't understand that at the time. So she would put me to do the homework because my grandmother didn't know how to do that with me. So it would be, I was scared of my mom because she will scream at me. She will be stressed out, you know. And if I didn't know the answer, I would say it, but I will say it like quietly and because I wasn't sure. And she will say, what? And I will panic at that time. So I didn't say anything. So then she will hit me. And it was not just like a hit me like that or hurry up or whatever. She will, I mean, she will lift me up from the table, or I will get up from the table. I had long hair. She will pull my hair. She will hit me with whatever she will find. She will hit me against the wall. And my uncle, because this was at night, my uncle will come drunk from his outings and will try to get in the way. And she almost hit him as well. She was like, oh, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing and this and that. Don't get involved. So that was my life, at least for the elementary life, the my school years at the beginning. Then after that, it changes, but changes in the sense that she's not hitting me, but she's still screaming at me, controlling. So I live a life being afraid of my mother. So many times I will lie to her, like in my grades, I will lie to her not to hear her mouth, or because I thought that it would be easier for me to get out of the situation if I lie to her and not have to hear her mouth and whatnot. But every so often she surprised me in a positive manner, positive way. Like, I mean, she was the one who got my first boyfriend kind of thing. And I was already 17 years old because she will introduce me to him and she was very excited about him. I don't know. I think she was seeing her life through me. And I guess that's why she would help me in certain ways or whatever. And she, I know she wanted the best for me, but because she didn't accomplish what she set out to do, although she, everything that she got it for her by herself. Like she got her own schooling. She went to school by herself, not because her mom motivated her because my grandmother, all she thought was to work to bring her family forward. She had eight kids and she was by herself.
Oh,
her
wow.
first Her first husband was my mom's dad. He got killed waiting for the bus to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30. A car hit him. And he was just standing there and he lost control and hit him. The second was not, she was not married to him. It was a relationship that shouldn't have happened, but she had to kiss with him. And then he went back to his wife. And the last one, he died of cancer. And apparently he was not the greatest person, at least not with the two youngest children my grandmother had, but I never met none of them, of course. And I never, conversations about their life, it happened with my grandmother, but not with my mom. And she only gave him what she knew, because my grandmother was traveling to California, to New York, to wherever to work. So she was not all the time there. And my mom was head of the family, trying to cook, trying to do all this thing, take care of other kids that she knew nothing about. And then she resented my grandmother. So their relationship was not good either. And my mom treated her mother like my mom was her mother. Like the way she will talk to her and whatnot. And my grandma said, like, oh, my grandmother will say whenever she will come and visit here, Florida, she said, your mom thinks she's my mother. I was like, I know nothing. That's something between you and her that you maybe allow. But I love my grandmother very much. We had a good relationship, but it was like nothing that she was teaching me verbally, but more what I saw her doing and whatnot. But then after that, let's move forwards because I can talk forever. Is that I was looking for love in the wrong relationships. I didn't have a father or figure. She tried to date, but because she had also, I don't know, she never opened up, but she always said that, I mean, she didn't want to give me a stepfather because they were not good people most of the time, or this or that. So she had crazy boyfriends that were jealous and or alcoholics or whatever, and she will go, she was not, she was trying to keep the relationship between me and her. And yes, she wanted to date because she needed that, but she was not crazy with men. And but then the men that really wanted her, that they were businessmen or whatever, then she didn't want them because either they one of them was that she knew the wife when they were married, and now they're no longer married, and he was interested in her, and she said, no, I don't want. I said, but you know, he's a businessman, he can come every so often because he didn't live in Puerto Rico, and he can take care of us financially and then go his way. I used to tell her. And then the other one was her boss when his wife died, but physically I didn't like him, and but she said no, and so no, so she always stayed by herself. She was always in love with my father, but she didn't say it, and she didn't we didn't have any communication. He never paid child support. And she never knew how to go about that. So she did everything what she needed to do by herself with me. She, because I was the only child, she always tried to take me to her friends. She had three good friends that had kids for me to have that interaction with other kids. But I had the interaction with kids, and then the siblings, the older siblings, some of them molested me sexually. It was like a game for them. And I thought it was something wrong with me because I had two uncles that actually, brothers of my grandmother, who also sexually molested me. And when I tried to say something at one point, I remember I was at my house at that time. My grandmother was talking to one of her younger daughters. My mom, because my mom was working all the time, interjection here, because my mom was working all the time, She will put me in classes like ballet class, piano class, or whatever. Not exactly classes that I wanted to take, but she wanted. So, but because she was working, she couldn't take me. My grandmother didn't work, and the rest of the family were scattered everywhere. So she will, my grandmother will take me with her brothers if she went with me. Most of the time, they will take me alone. So one of them would make advances at me. I was young. I was like in 11 years old, 10 years, 9 years. And the other one was the one living in my house. But when I tried to say something, my grandmother opened her mouth like, "What? What are you saying?" Like, I immediately took it that I'm wrong. They're going to spank me. They're going to do, I mean, I'm now it's going to be a big, big problem because I'm saying this. So I never said, but my aunt who was there, I thought that she realized something was going on. So she said, "I'll take you." But she never asked me on their way over there. Never was ever touched that subject. So I never said anything else. So if my mom ever knew, I have no idea. Years after, as an adult, I mentioned it to my aunts, to the one that was there and to her younger sibling. They took it like nothing. It was like, really? Oh, okay. That was it. Of course, there's nothing that I can do now anyway. The person is dead and I am an adult, but they were not even seem to be concerned or why they didn't ask any questions, like, I mean, to that effect. So I never took counseling of anything for that or for whatever happened in my life. But I think that through my jobs, when I came here to Florida, I worked with families, guiding them with parenting and their goals and referring them to resources, which I love that kind of scenario. I love helping others. I think that's how I gather my own counseling, because we had to go to a lot of workshops for different reasons, and I take that was my information. I'm still learning. I'm taking life coaching classes now through a Christian church, and I'm understanding more now of what could have happened. So even before, I thought to myself that I could not blame my mom because she did what she knew best, and she obviously didn't have the skills, because what happened was that when she was 25 years old, my grandmother went on one of her trips and left her, another sibling, and then a cousin or whatever in the house, in the apartment, and they decided to do a gathering with guys. Well, that's where she met my father. And the first time she met him, she was with him. And she got pregnant from the get-go. And then his family didn't want my mom because they thought she was a loose lady, a loose girl, because she was with him, even though she was 25 years old, but she was naive.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that they put another female in front of him to forget my mom, and he was in the army too. So, but when he found out that she was pregnant, he went to her to say, "Let's get married," or whatever. My mom was very proud and I guess very sensitive to the situation. So she said, "Oh, you're coming because I'm pregnant. You're here because of my pregnancy, not because of me." So she never wanted anything with him. And then after that, he got involved with somebody else that the family put in front of him. And the times that I wanted to approach him, I never was successful, even though she gave me the phone number. And his wife didn't want anything to do with me calling, because she wanted these were her words, that she wanted a female, she wanted a baby girl, and she only had boys. And she resented me.
Oh.
So she met me when she was 18 years old, and that was her story kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I met my siblings when I met one when I was 14 years old, and then when I was, I met two of them then when I was 18, but he has never been there for me. He even came one time to my house because my mom was still loving him whenever he will come to visit his family that he had here, which was very seldom that he would do. But whenever he will come, and it was because maybe his mother was sick or whatever, she will allow him or invite him to come and stay in our house, which was her house, really. And my grandmother, if she was here, she will say, your mother never cooks, but yet he comes and she cooks breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I said, well, what can I say? It's like, I mean, but still he will come, but I was still like a stranger to him. Even when I tried to talk to him, because I was having a lot of problems with my mom, communication wise and whatnot, and the controlling part of her, he goes back to her and tells her everything. And I'm like, really? So what good are you? Because I tried dating when I was in college, and if my mom didn't like them, she was like on me, like white on rice. And she even slapped me one time at a restaurant because she didn't like what I told her about the guy or whatever. And so let me put it this way. My mom was racist in her own way. Like, she didn't mind if we had other families, other friends in, that were Afro-American. But for us, and that's including her sisters, to date somebody that was Afro-American, she will have a cow. She think that we should have stayed with our own culture and this and that. And my aunt had a lot of issues with her because one of them just got married, even though that it didn't work out. And then when I was dating somebody of Afro-American culture, she went ballistic. And she wanted to talk to me. We went out to lunch because we were working, I think together. I don't know what I said, but she slapped me right across the face in front of everybody. So that's why I think I come with the sabotaging myself when I'm trying to do my own thing out there, to put myself out there, because I get people are looking at me, you know, and I think I have the Barbara Streisand stage fright. But I love helping people, and I love talking, as you notice, but I don't, and I have no problem in doing what I'm doing, like with you, being interviewed or talking, but when I'm going to do it myself, I sabotage myself, and I don't know why I do it. So I'm thinking now, like crazy maniac, that maybe this is why, because of my upbringing and whatnot. But she has her bads, but she had her goods too, and I know that she had and another thing, information that I was going to tell you is that my mom, if she did not like what, or she felt offended, or that, oh, you are not appreciating what I'm doing for you, because that's how she was, she will stop talking to you for years. Wow. And she stopped talking to her sister for I don't know what reason. She stopped talking to another sister that she's here now living in this area, and she wanted to talk to her. And she's this person, she was in the party with her, by the way, when she met my father, and she was also with my father's cousin she was dating. But this is a person, she was always free spirit. She did what she wanted. She did her life. She had her nursing degree. She did many things. She had her own business and whatnot. But my mom would only talk to her when there was an emergency with her kids. And we were all so excited all the time. Oh, yes, now is my cousin and I, like, now we're going to talk. They're going to talk. It's going to be easier for us to communicate, whatnot. Once that passed, she's out again and not talking. And it was my mom that the whole, everybody tried to get them together to talk. Again, my mom would not do it. And she stopped talking to me when I decided to move from her house to go to my own house with my partner at the time. And she stopped talking to me. The only reason she talked to me is because I had my child, and her friend told her she needs help. She's doing it all on her own. But she's your daughter. You have to help her. Again, she allowed me to come in, but I made sure to tell her, I'm here, but I already have plans to move out. I already have something in place. So if I do it, don't get upset. It's, I need to be on my own with my children. But yeah, that's was her. So now in my relationship with my partners, what happened? With my first child, which is my daughter, my oldest daughter, he disappeared. He didn't want, I really didn't like him when I started. I like his friend. But I didn't do anything with his friend because he had a relationship. But we started dating with this guy, and I was like, well, let me, it was nothing like I would go for, the style of guy. I mean, yes, I like his height, that's about it. But we were dating, and then there was a long weekend, and he asked me to stay over, and I said, no, I'm working, I went out. But then I had a date, whatever, that I was able to stay with him and his friend. And it happened where, almost like my mother, from the get-go, I got pregnant. I was not intimate or sexually involved with anybody at any time, given time before. I was not intimate with anybody. I would not, it was not my nature to just go out with somebody and go into that. One, because I was naive myself. I was afraid. I didn't do the pill or anything like that. And at that time, it was not something that you would find that easy either. So I found out I was pregnant, and I told him, and he went into this thing that was not in his plans, that he had his life planned out and this and that, whatever. He comes from a good family. And all of a sudden he disappeared. When I tried to find him for child support or whatever, I ended up moving to this area, which is where my mom built her house on her own. She saved little by little, and she paid for this house cash.
Wow.
And at that time was $46,000, which now is nothing but compared to how the houses are, but she paid everything cash. So I found him when my daughter was 7 years old. Or actually, I didn't find, yeah, it wasn't me, or I'm not sure if it was me or child support, but we found him. And the father, nobody knew that I had a child. He never told anybody that I was pregnant. And when his father found out, he was very upset. And he was the one who reached out to me and to my mom. And my mom made the arrangements to take my daughter over there to be, so they would know her. And my mom loved them because they were rich. Mm-hmm. They came from a well family, and they had their own business and whatnot. And she was the one who always made the connection. After that, I never spoke to him. I never spoke to the other family members, but I allowed my daughter to go because she needed that part of her life. We met when my daughter, for the first time after that, I met him when my daughter got married. Again, my daughter, like my mom, she paid for her whole wedding herself and her partner, and she did it in Cabo. And the wedding was only her husband, her father, his second wife, and myself. And he apologized then. We had many throughout the my daughter going back and forth to visit him and whatnot. The little that we talked was the the ticket is here, I'm gonna go pick her up, or this is that. But it was nothing like a cordial, or it was cordial, but it was not, we didn't fight. We just did what we needed to talk about, and that was it. Only one time we argued, and this one, he wanted to get her off child support even before the time, just because she was 18 years old, which it, where he was at needed to be until 24 if she was going to study. But that didn't happen but 1 year. And but he, even before 18, he was already making arrangements to get her off. And the judge or mediator told him, like, no, as long as she goes to school, you have to pay. And just because she works, my daughter, doesn't mean that you have the right to get her off child support. So, but my daughter has kind of a good relationship with him and with his siblings and whatnot. And like I said, on the day of the wedding is when he apologized to me. And I didn't know I had, to tell you the truth, I didn't know I had any feelings, whether they were bad or, I mean, bad, negative, good, or anything against him. But that lifted up something in me, because after that day, I was a different person. And my daughter realized it, and I realized it. And I said, I didn't know I had anything against him. I didn't, I mean, for me, it was just the creator of my daughter. That's about it. But after that, it was like, then we were able to talk fine. Before, I would not address him or anything. Then my second child, yes.
Can I ask you a question? No, this is so good. You're sharing so much information. This is like so sweet of you just to share so much. I do have a question though, if that's okay. You talked about your mom so much, and you mentioned a couple of times where it was some good things, but mostly it was really hard. And I'm curious, what is the biggest life lesson that you feel you learned from her?
The life lesson, to do what you have to do. And my mom always was all about money, about taking care of yourself and saving, not saving, paying your debts and whatnot. I learned that, but I did also tell her, I have children. I have to have the savings, whether the debts are going to be there or not. I have to do what I have to do by me. It's like, I mean, I didn't do everything like her, but she was a very strong person. And I think that's what I mean, she had good principles, good moral things that I adapted. My whole family is very independent. The whole females, and we are many females. My grandmother had 5 daughters and 3 boys, and the 3 boys were not always around. So we did what we had to do. And my mom, like I said, she put herself through school. She found her job. She did her own apartment. She took care of kids without knowing how to do it. She burned the rice many times. She resented it, but she did what she needed to do. Now, she had other ways that I didn't like, which is like stop talking to people because they didn't do, I mean, because she took it all at heart. She had a big heart. And one thing I didn't realize until the other day is that I am doing like her, exactly like her. The difference is the timing. My mom used to cut newspapers or magazines, papers, information that she will find, education. And she will say, here, give it to this person or read this or whatever. And I was like, oh, here she goes again. Like, I mean, positive things. She even tell me things to give to my friends. Like, I'm not going to give her that. Are you crazy? It's like, oh, tell this person to call, to look at this channel so she can learn something, or sometimes had to do with weight or whatnot. And I'm doing the same thing, but with social media.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's like, funny. Oh my God. Like, I'm turning to my mom. That's not good.
Well, it's fun though. I actually was going to ask you too, what are some things that you do different and what are some things you do the same? And it sounds like you don't cut people off. It seems like that's something you really disliked. And then you do share positive information with people, which is a positive thing from your mom. So that's cool. Yes. I was going to ask you both of those things and you already answered them. So I like that you seem to have broken some bad chains and bad.
Yes, I found out about generational curses. Yes. The thing is that I learned, especially when my mom got ill, I allow everybody who she knew in her life, whether she spoke to them or not, whether they were in their, her path or not, to come and visit her. My mom couldn't talk toward the end. She had something in her brain that they don't even know what it was, but they were calling it aphasia.
Mm-hmm.
Her brain was shrinking, and so she couldn't speak. She couldn't talk, walk or even eat much, but she... I used to take pictures of everybody with her that will come and visit. And then I used to say, like, you see, you spend your life not talking to these people or to this person for so long for what? Because they're here taking pictures with you and you don't even remember. So I tell my kids all the time, even from before, I said, like, don't use the word hate because that's a strong word. And especially now with people. And I mean, life goes on. Like, I mean, why get upset at somebody that, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I mean, it's a waste of time when you can have disagreements and still, I mean, to tell you the truth, with my last husband, I will get mad at him. And it was valid. I really think that was valid. But I forgot, like 1 hour later or next day, I started talking to him like, oh, I forgot I was mad at you. I'm not supposed to be talking to you, but I just couldn't stay mad.
Yeah.
So even when we separated, I was mad for a while, but then I just started talking to him because I love them. I mean, I don't love what their behavior, and we shouldn't be really. We're human. We all make mistakes, and we all have things that we're not proud of and things that doesn't matter what the sin is, like they say in the Bible, like, I mean, whether it's little or big, it's still sin. So just because I didn't do the same thing that you did or whatever, is I'm not perfect. I still have mistakes. And so why am I going to judge you when I do the same thing? Maybe you don't know what it is, you know? So I'm not perfect. But yes, I had three children, three partners. I only married my son's father because I wanted to do things right, because I was tired of doing things wrong. Yet I had domestic violence with him. I learned what domestic violence was. But I took that as an experience learned to help other people, because even though scared me to death, it was nothing compared to the families that I was serving, and that I knew some of them didn't come out of it.
Wow.
And yes, in my scary moments, because he was taller than me, and I said, and when he turned into whatever he turned, it was like seeing the devil. And it was completely, I mean, it was just an experience that I don't deserve. I don't wish on anybody, no matter how little or how big, because I know, I mean, being that there was no man in my family growing up, I mean, I never saw marriages, only my godparents. That was nothing that I experienced in that family. Whenever I will stay with them, I never experienced domestic violence. I never went through anything to that matter. So when I experienced that myself, I didn't know how to handle it. And, but like I said, I just took it as an experience. He put his hand twice in my neck. Like one, I was in bed and I was like, no, he's joking. I know he's joking. Nothing happened. But then the second time, we were already separated. And the last time, he came to my house screaming and carrying on. And I opened it because I knew that if I didn't open it, it was going to get worse. I opened the door. And he went straight to my neck and pinned me against the wall, and my daughter saw that, my youngest one, and all I said was in my head, oh, I had my cell phone in my hand, I called 911, but then I hung up because I was afraid. And being that he already came in and he told me either close the phone or I'm going to break it on you. So I closed it, because there were the flip phones. And then he said to, he was screaming, I don't know what, and with his hand on my neck. And I said, I felt very at peace at that point, even though I was afraid. And I said to him, not to him, I said to myself, God, take care of this because I'm done. I have no idea what to do or what's going to happen here, but you have to take care of it but God did. Because I had a friend of my daughter living with me, and I said, my son's father is here. I'm going to open the door. Whatever you hear, do not come out of this room. Well, she didn't. She crawled out of the window, out through the window, and called the cops. Like she said, I don't know how many times I called the cops because I was so afraid. And then she left. And the only reason this guy came to my house, unfortunately, he passed away many years after, and we were talking by then, but the only reason that he came like a lunatic to my house was because he saw that car. He thought I was with a man, even though he had a girlfriend and we were separated. I was trying to get the divorce, but I didn't know how and I didn't have the money, but eventually it happened. But after that, he calmed down. He took, because he saw my son came to us and he said, oh, do you want a glass of water? Well, he had me pinned, I guess, with his hand on my neck. And that's how he took my hand off. And he said, oh, no, honey, I don't want a glass of water. I'm just mad because your mom this, your mom that, or whatever, whatever. And he kept on, he will start rambling, talking about, I don't know what, about why he was mad at me or whatever. And he himself calmed himself, and then he was okay. It's like, oh, and then he was being lovey-dovey with me. And I was like, you are really crazy.
Yeah,
so I would not talk to him to avoid any conflicts. And then all of a sudden, my son said, there's somebody out there with a flashlight. So I immediately rushed out to the door and opened the door, and I realized it was the cops, not one, not two, there were three or more patrol cars in front of my house. And they know he had, I didn't even realize that the restraining order that I did have on him, because he will follow me everywhere, he will find me, even though he didn't have a car. He will always have a matter of that people will lend him his car, I mean, their car. And if he sees me in the street, he will go after me, even though that he had a girlfriend. Not because supposedly he wanted to hurt me, but because he wanted to talk to me. He wanted to go back with me, and I didn't want to. So what happened? So the last restraining order that I put on him, I didn't realize because I didn't want to learn anything else. I didn't want to read anything that the judge did it for life.
Oh,
and
wow.
that was something that it was very rare done in this county, and especially at that time, because domestic violence was not something that anybody will come out and say it.
Right.
So he the cops found out that, yes, he thought that it was, when I showed him the paper, the cops said, no, that's just saying that you went to court and this and that. But he had the good sense of calling in the through his speaker to the, I'm sorry, my dog is crying because it's thundering here. He started getting very shaky. So he called, let it in, and the secretary or the person on the other side said, yes, that's a restraining order for life. So he had broken my restraining order and the other restraining order that he had with his girlfriend, although his girlfriend did accepted him back in the house. And he went to jail. So the cop came like hours after to tell me what happened. And then he said, oh, don't worry, because it's going to be there all weekend because there's no judge and it's the weekend and whatnot. No, they let him go 1 hour not 1 hour, like 2 hours after he came, because it just so happened that the judge ended up going to jail, which is unusual. And because he said, oh yeah, here you can put the handcuffs on me. I know I'm going to jail because I broke probation. It's like, oh, you're so honest, so let me let you go. And so they did. But he knew better not to come by to my house. But I didn't want to wait anyways. I just went to stay at a hotel.
Yeah, I bet.
I took my kids, and I was like, my daughter said that that was the best times when we will stay at a hotel.
Oh.
Unexpectedly, but she was also afraid. That's So what they suffered, my kids had, especially her, because then she was taking that, like she couldn't trust men, and she was the one that would get enraged with guys and don't allow them to do anything and whatnot. But I had to talk to her, and I said, not every man is the same, and what I went through, you don't have to go through, but you just don't need to be doing what they did to me to others, because that's not you. So thankfully, they are doing good with their partners that they have are like, oh my God, I used to say, where did I do wrong? Because they would give life for them. And in my case, they will take my life,
oh, wow.
Kind of thing. And, but I'm so blessed that I have the kids that I have, and that they all are teaching me something, even though sometimes I don't have patience with them. Because they think that they're my parents. My daughter thinks she's my mom. My middle one as well. And my son thinks sometimes either my husband or my father. It's like, oh my God, I don't have a husband for a reason, and I don't have a father for a reason. Could you stop? Like, I have a life. My kids wants to say, if you're gonna date, we have to approve him.
Cute.
I said, yes, you do. But right now, I don't even want to know about no man, even though, I mean, I would like to have a relationship, but I'm sure I don't trust. I feel very uneasy when I start talking to somebody now.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how are you? Our time is like flown by.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing so much. You're still so positive and happy and giggly. And I'm just curious, like for me and probably for our listeners as well, how are you able to stay so positive when you've been through so much?
I don't know, really. I don't know. I can tell you now it is because I, with my last husband, I knew him for many, many years ago, and I kind of fell in love with him, but he didn't want to have any relationship with me after a year. And I was older than him 10 years. Even though he looks older than me. But then we rekindle, and but he was not the person I thought so. But anyways, the thing was that I started going to church after him. I was not obviously I was not raised in church, and we didn't talk about church, nothing. Every so often I would go with a friend or so to church, but I didn't understand what it was. So I thought it was a cultural thing for some families. So I never knew anything or didn't have a relationship to know enough. And even when I came over here to raise my kids in this area, I will try to go to church. I went to every church possible in this town because I didn't feel I was getting filled with anything. I was just there thinking about my bills, and I was like, okay, it's next, because this is not the church. But it's because I didn't know that I had to have a relationship with him. So now I understand that it's because I'm getting closer to him, and I know what love is. Not that I'm doing the right thing, but I do know about people. You know, I know about, I mean, that we all go through things, and many times we react in the ways that we were raised.
Yeah.
In the past, I don't know. I just try, I guess, to keep with my independent self, like every other woman in my family did. It was part of life, so just keep on going. It's like, I mean, we never talk about it. We continue doing what we had to do, and or took my counseling at the time with my job when I came here, because in Florida, I'm sorry, Puerto Rico, I did minimal jobs in as a secretary or something, offices, but it was nothing to the effect of what I was doing here, which all the jobs I have found myself with is like working with people, helping them in some way. And I loved it. I really loved. I think I was trying to maybe cure myself through them, but even though I didn't know, I mean, yeah. In helping them, I was helping myself, but I didn't think, oh, let me help this so I can help myself. No, I never even thought about what happened to me or what, it was just part of life.
Well, I imagine you're better able to help them though, because of your experience, like you truly understand. Sometimes people say, oh, I know what you're going through. And you're like, no, but like for reals, I know what you're going through. You understand what all these terrible things feel like. So you're better able to have compassion and able to help people. Yeah, your story is just, I see why Stacy wanted us to talk. You are just over and over. You've shown such resilience and how strong you are and how happy you still are. And you love your children and you're just, I'm excited to get to know you more. And I would love to talk with you again and just.
Oh, yes. Like there's been things, there's more, but that's not.
That's the cliff notes, the short version of it all.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming today and for sharing with us. And just, I love the resilience of people. I just think they're so fascinating. It's so neat to hear people's stories. Not that I enjoy hearing suffering, but I enjoy hearing how people, I mean, everybody's got this hero's journey. And I think often we don't realize that we've had that, but look at your journey. My goodness. It's just incredible. My heart aches for the things that you went through. And I just celebrate with you the beautiful human that you've become, kind of despite all of it. You know, you're like, I'm going to push through and I'm going to make this happen anyway. Just have such a cool spirit.
And that's why I want to write my book and I want to do the podcast and I want to tell all these people. But then when I try to do it, I sabotage myself and I feel like, no, they don't. I mean, I do have that low self-esteem that comes out and I'm like, oh, here we go again. But I am determined to continue. As
Good.
Much as I struggle, I do have a lot of distractions and that I don't even know how to discern them because it's part of my life so much that I don't know what is that I'm allowing that I don't move forward, you know, but determined to continue. That's why I do my also, I say yes to everybody else so I can get the story out. So if I did it and it's still happening, anybody else can do it. I mean, maybe they need some support and that's fine. It's fine also to ask for help. I see families just recently, I found out there's their girl who lives with the perpetrator, the guy that hits her and leaving marks. I never had marks, but the emotional ones.
Yeah.
But she, I mean, and it, I cried when I heard that. And I didn't think I would still have that pain in me when I heard that.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Oh, that would be so hard. And I love that you're going to write a book. Write it down, because I'm sure there are many who listen to this who feel hope knowing that you were able to get through it. Not that anyone deserves any of the things you went through. Any abuse at all. Abuse is never, ever, ever okay. I think, though, unfortunately, people are in it, and to hear other people who have survived gives them the strength and the ability to move forward and to get out, or to, you know, be loud, or to make that phone call, or to make that change that they need. So thank you for being vulnerable. And I think giving strength to people who maybe don't know what to do. They know you did it. You got out.
Yes, but I think also the people, the good people that surrounded me, that they were, many of them were going to church and knew about God. And I guess they were praying for me. Because I now, knowing about God, I know that my strength has to come from Him. I mean, I still don't understand all about being a disciple and how to be a disciple and everything that has to do with spirituality, but in Christianity. But I do know that's more than just, I know that by myself, without family and without the prayers, I don't think I would have been able to manage. And I cry when some people go through this. I mean, even though it's not tears in my face, but I mean, but
Yeah.
it bothers me
Yeah, I understand. That makes
that they
sense.
didn't come out. But and now I cannot see those movies. It scares me too
Right?
much.
I know, I can't watch those movies either. It's too hard. There's enough real life stuff that people are going through. Yeah. Well, thank you again so much for coming. Thank you for your strength and your resiliency and your incredible story. And I'm so excited for your book. So you're gonna
Thank
keep
you.
us, here's gonna be your accountability. You're gonna keep us
Yes, thank you. Yes,
informed
I do need that.
of your first chapter and your second chapter and when it comes out, and we'll celebrate with you. Sound good?
Oh, that's awesome. Yes, I need that. Like, I mean, because if it's, you leave it to me, I keep doing my life and forgetting about my dreams
Okay, well, we're gonna keep
and the other people that needs to hear it.
yeah, we'll bug you about that. Do you have a name for your book yet? A
I don't know.
title?
I was thinking about Road to Real because I
Raw
live
to
a raw,
real?
yeah,
Yeah.
living a raw life, and now I mean, I'm living it, and I can. It's there. I know. I understand, and I can help some others. I don't know. It's like, I mean, that's just
I like it. I
the
think that's
page.
good.
I don't know.
So if people want to get in touch with you, well, I'll have you give me your social media links. Do you have a website? Do you have a way people can get a hold of you if they're interested in reaching out? No,
Not
nope.
right now. Like, I
You can
mean, nothing
just
that
listen and wait for
once I,
the.
yeah, exactly. Yes, once I start, I mean, I started, but like I said, I self-sabotage myself. So I, it's nothing going on right now with that, but eventually it will.
Okay, awesome. So when your book comes out, everybody can read it. Sounds awesome.
Yes, ma'am. Thank
Thank
you.
you, Bea, so much for coming today. It's been a pleasure. So nice to
Thank you
talk
for
with you.
inviting me and listening me, listening to me for so long.
Oh, it is. I want to say my pleasure, but that makes it sound like I enjoy hearing your struggles. I don't. I enjoy
Oh, don't
hearing
worry about it.
how
Like,
you've
I mean,
overcome
I don't get
and how you've become stronger. So thank you so
Yes,
much.
ma'am.
All right, I'll
Thank you.
talk to
Have
you
a good
later.
day. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Bye.